And welcome back. As we all know, air travel is very, very popular in the United States, all over the world, actually. Now airlines and airports are gearing up for the summer vacation season. No surprise when issues affecting air travel get a lot of attention, and there are more than a few of those issues on the table right now. Joining us in studio to update us on St. Louis Lambert International Airport is the Facilities Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer, Rhonda Hamnebrügge. Ron, it's nice to have you back with us again.
Thank you.
Well, are you gearing up for the summer season? This has got to be a busy time for you.
It has. It's been awesome. I mean, we love, obviously, the crowds and the volumes. You know, we saw a terrific year last year with about a 10% increase, which was about 1.2 million people. And we're expecting the same increase this year. And we're holding true to that so far.
Well, what do you have to do to prepare for the onslaught? Because it's obviously busier.
Right. There's a couple of things. I mean, you look at the facility itself from a cleaning perspective. You know, do you have to add extra staff in order if you've got more passengers coming through? What does that mean from a parking perspective? We're always paying attention to the lots and the garages, and are we able to accommodate the customers? You know, you look at it from a concessionaire. Do we have enough, you know, shops and restaurants to accommodate the people that we need? So you really take a ground look at it from every single aspect. And then you've got the outside, which you talk about, the roadway system, and is it being able to handle all the support? So,
well, at least now you have a name that everybody should be coming acquainted with instead of the three or four different names it was known as before.
Yeah, no, I think everybody's excited. You know, we really wanted to try to bring the region into the whole regional branding. So the St. Louis Lambert gives us that.
Okay. The impression that people get, you've heard this before, the first impression people get of St. Louis is often through Lambert Airport. Mm-hmm. And there are some people that are critical, saying the airport is kind of run down at the heels. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to that, and how does that make you feel as the director of that facility?
Frustrated because I think we have done a lot. I mean, I think it's hard to change perception of people. And if people haven't flown in a while, they still have a perception of, I think, an airport that was years ago. And so we have spent, you know, well over $100 million into the renovation of the terminals, which are much more light and airy. We've brought a really aggressive art program into the airport, into both terminals, highlighting a lot of the institutions and the local artists we have in our own region here. We've upgraded a lot of the restaurants, the shops. And so I think we've done a lot. So I think what for the team at the airport gets frustrating is either people haven't flown in a while and haven't seen it, or they just won't give up the past and think about the future.
Something you're obviously cognizant of, though.
Oh, sure.
At all times. Okay. Now, there are a couple of elephants in the room. And one of them is the discussion that has been ongoing about the potential for privatization of Lambert Airport. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think, you know, people have to kind of understand, first of all, what privatization means. There's all levels of it. You know, we have public-private partnerships currently at the airport. We have a parking concessionaire. We obviously have our, you know, news and gift is outsourced. Our restaurants, some of them are outsourced. So there's private partnerships all over the place. The particular program that we're talking about, where an application was filed under the FAA program, is to privatize the airport with a private operator. That's through a lease of the airport.
Not an owner, an operator, operator-owner.
That's correct. It's not an owner. It doesn't sell the airport. The city retains ownership of the airport. In this particular program, the privatization program under the FAA, you enter into an agreement for someone to come in and run the operations of it. For doing that, they get benefits. They get benefits of the concession revenue, of the parking revenues, of additional revenues they could generate. But the city would always retain the ownership. And normally, these are lease agreements that would be around a 40-year lease agreement.
So there would be an infusion of cash at the beginning of this process, perhaps, and then the someone else would be making money on the airport.
Yeah. Well, you know, the groups that are interested in doing this obviously are for-profit organizations.
Sure.
So the program was initially put in place by the FAA to help with some of the funding issues across the country in terms of the, you know, projects that were needed at airports. It hadn't been a well-received project in the U.S. We do have one airport, San Juan, that has been privatized and has been for a few years now. But I think it's something that you know, airports look at all the time and think, does it make sense? Does it not? Every situation's different. So I think what you would have to do is make sure that if you're looking at the program and you're thinking, does it make sense for St. Louis? You have to consider lots of things. You have to consider the airport. You have to consider, obviously, your tenants and the airlines. The airlines have a vote in this process. 65% of them have to agree to this. So, and then you have to say, does it make sense for the city and for the region? So there's a lot of entities that go into it. Typically, what these investors do is they do come in with a lump sum payment at the front end. They also sometimes will come in and say, we'll do less upfront payment, but we'll make additional payments to the city or the owner of the airport over the life of that use and lease agreement. So all of that is written into the RFP when it goes out, and none of that has been done at this point. Obviously, we're very early.
Yes, the application has just been filed by the city, but there seems to be a little momentum building for this. I want to just direct your attention, our listeners' attention, to Ron Richard of the Missouri State Legislature. As the session was ending, was indicating that the legislature might get in on it.
We're going to have to start merging municipalities, fire districts, police districts, public safety, merge county and city, sell Lambert Field, take that $2 or $3 billion, do infrastructure in the city. But you got to protect it, because St. Louis will probably figure out a way to spend the money on a bunch of umbrellas and stuff.
Well, there you have one point of view. It surprises me that the legislature could have anything to do with this transaction if it ever happens.
Yeah, and that would be that's an interesting – you know, first of all, it's not a sale of the airport. That was Mr. – and we're not Lambert Field. We're St. Louis Lambert International. But the process would obviously involve the Airport Commission and the city and the FAA, and it could involve a vote of the people because of the city charter. What role the legislation would play in that is really yet to be seen, I guess, because most of that they wouldn't play a part. Now, they may decide to be supportive or non-supportive of it, but the role that they would play is very unclear.
How long is this likely to play out before we have a next step, whatever that might be?
You know, the process, if you look at the San Juan process, it was a little over 2.5 years. A couple of other airports have looked at it. You know, anywhere along the way, the city can decide that they can pull out of the process if they choose to do so.
And other airports have, several of them, as I understand it.
They have. I mean, New Orleans looked at it. Midway looked at it. There's been some smaller ones as well on the East Coast that have looked at it. So it's a process that, you know, I share with people all the time. You know, don't get too panicked about or too overwhelmed about just yet. I mean, we're very, very early in. There's obviously been no RFQs issued, no RFPs issued. You know, meetings are just starting to happen to kind of familiarize everybody with it. So it's got a long way to go, and, you know, we'll see how the process pans.
Give me some sense of a long way, if you know. I mean, are we talking a couple of years?
Probably. I mean, it'd be very hard-pressed to see it come to a fruition with under than 2 years. I mean, it could be a little shorter than that. But in most cases, just based on history, you're looking at, you know, a 2 to 2.5 year process.
You indicated off the air that you're tired of talking about it already.
Well, I mean, it's obviously top of mind with a lot of people, and we do get a lot of calls about it. And I look at it and say, we've got a lot of good things going on at the airport. And, you know, those are the things we would rather talk about right now.
Well, let's talk about some of them, because there's a lot going on, as you indicated earlier on. There's I don't want to call it facelifting, but things that are of economic value to the airport, some commercial enterprises. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, you know, we have always looked, at least in the 7 years that I've been there, looked at trying to grow our revenue base, whether it's aeronautical or non-aeronautical. So we just announced a new private use lounge that will be going in Terminal 2, something that our customers have continued to tell us they want. So that's being awarded through the process right now. It's gone through commission and TNC this morning, and it'll go through the Board of Aldermen. But to Terminal 2, that'll bring a new 2,500 square foot private use club for individuals that want that. We also have an RFP on the street right now for another new restaurant in Terminal 2. Terminal 2 is where Southwest operates, and it's about 53% of our traffic. So we're growing. Last year, we opened two additional gates in Terminal 2 that had been closed for many years. Next month, in June, we'll open another complex. It's got four gates to it. Southwest will start with three of those gates, and then the fourth one will be open later in the year. But, you know, we're seeing reopening of areas. So that's 6 additional gates. That's all a result of new service. So, and we're not just growing with Southwest. I mean, I think it's important for people to look at the growth. Frontier has announced additional growth. Alaska has announced additional growth into the San Diego market this year. Southwest is obviously adding 2 new markets this summer. We're adding Charleston, South Carolina, and Pensacola. And then they're adding some of the existing markets with additional aircraft. So we are seeing a lot happening right now. We had a use and lease agreement with all of our air carriers that we entered into effective July 1 of last year. In that, they pre-approved for a $170 million capital improvement plan over the next 5 years. So we have a lot going on.
We have a lot going on. The St. Louis, for a good long while, was a hub airport. Mm-hmm. It's not any longer. Why not?
Well, I think it depends what people call hubs. We were a large hub airport for, obviously, TWA and then American. TWA chose to put all of their hub operation into St. Louis. It was the only hub they had. They had some focus cities, but St. Louis was the only hub. This industry changed dramatically after deregulation and consolidation of airlines. And in a market like St. Louis, where you have 2.8 million people, we relied heavily on connecting traffic in the TWA days to support the hub that they had. That model doesn't work very well anymore. And obviously, the hub went away. If you take a look at what Southwest does and operates, they don't consider themselves a hub and spoke carrier. Mm-hmm. But any airline that has 110 flights a day, which is what they will have next month, into market tells you they have a hub, a medium hub, not the large hub. So I think it's people's view and opinion of what a hub really means and what flight activity means. But we'll hit this summer peak with almost 260 flights a day, serving 71 nonstop cities. So that's very well served for a city this size. We are continuing to try to grow back that connecting traffic because we need the region to grow in order to gain the local market. We need more people in this market.
Is there a prestige factor in being a hub airline, a hub airport?
Obviously, there's 31 large hub airports. There's a lot of medium hub airports. We are the largest medium hub airport. So, we rank number 32 in the country out of 457. But, you like feeling in that large hub category. I mean, it does give a level of prestige with that. That puts you in the 15 million passenger. Last year, we were just shy of 14 million, and this year we'll top that.
Right. You know, when people think airports anymore, one of the first things they think about is security.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's much on your mind. And even these days in particular, it seems to be getting more attention. Do you, as the director of the airport, have any control at all over security, or is it all TSA?
Well, if you look at the checkpoint, that's all TSA. Now, we obviously partner with them. We talk with them on a daily basis. We are always looking at ways to improve it, but they have responsibility for the checkpoints. If you look at the broader scheme of things, overall security, around our perimeter fences, in our garages, in the areas, that becomes a partnership. We obviously have our police force, and we work very closely with FBI and with TSA. But it is a mutual relationship when you talk about the airport in total. If you talk about the checkpoints, that really is the responsibility of Homeland Security.
There's been so much attention given recently to what happens on the airplane itself.
Mm-hmm.
This is not your bailiwick for sure. Just curious as to your thoughts. What could be going on, these fist fights that have been breaking out on a number of airlines?
You know, I think having spent the first 27 years of my life on the airline side, it's a tough situation when right now flights are full. Everybody is running full aircraft, which is great. I mean, that's great for the economy. That's great for the airlines. It's great for the airport. With that brings some issues, and one of those issues is people not getting the seat that they liked or not getting a seat at all.
Or one that's too small.
Or not liking the travel person sitting next to them because they're too large. And I think it just builds up. And there was a day when, flying was really a limited market of people and only for the elite. And obviously that's not the case anymore. It's an open market for everybody. And with the competition, there are a lot of non-experienced travelers, and it just is a, you put all those things together, you put congested airports, you put going through security, you put, you know, flight delays, you just, I think it pulls, it builds a lot of people's intensity. And unfortunately, you know, there's very little tolerance these days by the air carriers or the airport for people out of control. And it causes for some tough situations.
You ever seen anything like what we've been going through the last couple of months?
Not the last. It's very, very elevated right now. And again, because of security, so is the watch of the airlines and all of the airports is very elevated as well. And so you've got people's emotions being elevated. You have the airlines and all the airports on a higher security, making sure that we're trying to keep the general public safe, both the passengers as well as the employees. And so I think both of those combined is just causing some pressure points that we're not used to seeing.
A lot of the things relating to air travel, again, do not are not directed at you running the airport. But I'm sure you get some flack from people who are now beginning to say, what? They're saying I can't bring my laptop
right.
on the airplane anymore?
We do. We get lots of calls even when at Christmas time when people want to take wrapped packages through and they have to unwrap them. You know, the airport's typically the one that gets the calls and say, you unwrapped my package. Well, no, we actually didn't. But so I think, you know, there are websites, whether it's the website that we have as an airport, whether it's the airline's website, whether it's Holblem Security, about what you can and cannot do at airports, what you can and cannot bring at airports. You know, they are public utilities. That's what airports are. But they are also places where, you know, we are doing our best to try to keep everybody safe and secure and a customer experience. So you want a good customer experience. So I think people need to educate themselves a little bit. If you have questions about what you can take at an airport or what you can't take, don't just call the airport, because many times we're going to have to refer you to another entity. Look at the airlines. We don't tell the airlines what they can and cannot take on board. They make that decision based on their federal regulations. We don't tell TSA what they can and cannot take through the security checkpoint. That's what they decide on based on their federal regulations.
I suspect the real ID legislation just passed by the Missouri legislature falls into this category. I mean, obviously, you talk about a learning curve. A lot of people are going to have to learn what they really should bring with them in terms of identification starting in January.
Yeah, and, you know, fortunately, we have got the Real ID passed, which means our state will become compliant. January 22nd of 2018, the federal government has said is that if you're a state not compliant with the driver's license code that is set by the federal law, that you will need a passport to fly or a passport card or a military-issued ID, such as global entry or if you're an active member of the military. And a lot of people don't have those things and don't have an intent of getting those things because they don't travel international. So, you know, we have been at the legislation now for 3 years trying to get people educated on why we need to have our driver's license compliant. So we're very grateful that it did pass on this session. But, you know, there's going to be some changes as people get their new IDs until they all get them turned over and upgraded of what can and cannot be used going forward.
So is this going to be a TSA situation once again?
It will be. And the TSA has been out very vocal. They have lots of signs. There's only four states that haven't yet got compliance. So the four M's, Montana, Maine, Missouri, and Minnesota. All of us are in that final stages of trying to get the approvals through. So I think the other three states are where we are. It is now coming either to vote or has passed through the current legislation now, trying to get your DMVs up to speed so that they are able to turn it over. And I think they're ready to go. So, but the TSA has been out. There's signs. If you come to our checkpoint or if you come to any checkpoint in the country, you'll see a sign that says you cannot travel out of these airports at this time unless they fixed this law. So it's been a very public program. We get lots of calls, lots of questions on it.
There was another issue that came before the legislature. I'm curious as to, I'm sure you followed it, with regard to the ability to buy alcoholic beverages in the airport and walk around, and that failed, as I recall. Is this something that you would like to have seen, people wandering around with their drinks?
Yeah, I mean, we were supportive of that, and I tell you why. I mean, again, we survey the customers. We had almost 14 million people last year. We do a lot of surveys with customers to find out what they want, what they like. And a lot of people like to have a drink who are of legal age at the airport. airport. And so this is one option that a lot of airports have gone to. If the security line's backed up and you don't have time to stop and eat or drink, this gives an opportunity for people that want to get to their gate so that they don't miss either their boarding position or miss their flight. So they like to buy the drink to go. So it's not uncommon. You're seeing it pop up at more airports. Obviously, it does help on the revenue concession side as well. But it really is a customer entity or a customer amenity that they've been asking for. You know, can we have this? Can we do this? You obviously cannot take it on the airplane. You obviously have to be of legal age to buy one. It goes into a cup that's marked as the airport. You cannot take it past security to the non-sterile side and take it out. So there's also lots of rules and regulations. Mm. It's just that instead of sitting down at the table or bar stool, you're sitting down at the gate with it.
It'll probably come up again then. Let's take a call or two as time allows. I'd like to bring in Phil calling from Baldwin. He has something that he'd like to say to the airport director. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, the roads outside the airport are really in very bad disrepair. And there needs to be some signage on the, I guess it's Natural Bridge, as you get off Highway 70 going eastbound,
okay,
direct you to Terminal 2. And you got arrivals, departures, but you don't say I had to get all the way over from the left lane all the way to the far right lane when I took my son to the airport to go to Terminal 2 last week. The other thing is, we voters are going to fight the privatization of Lambert Airfield. We're tired of our valued infrastructure being sold for pennies on the dollars, for example, the St. Louis County Water Company.
Phil, let me interrupt you. I think we've got the gist of what you want to say, and our time is running out. So let's talk about the roads first, mm-hmm. and Phil's got his own opinion about privatization.
Sure. Well, on the roads, there's a couple of things. You can see where the airport has responsibility and where MoDOT has responsibility. So we have done a lot of repaving. We just actually replaced the whole entire bridge with the roadway in the last 12 months over the airport. You can, when you come in, and we work very closely with MoDOT where that responsibility gets off and on. We obviously, like all roads, have a lot of heavy traffic and the potholes pop up. So we try to do everything that we can within our piece of the jurisdiction to have a crew that's constantly filling and working on those. But I hear your concerns on that, and obviously we continue to monitor that and make sure that MoDOT's also aware of the section that's there so that we can continue to serve the customers with safe roadways.
He had indicated that he's not going to vote for privatization of the airport. Is this something that would actually be voted upon, would you guess?
Not with the county people. I believe I heard him, the gentleman, say he was from Baldwin.
Yeah.
If there is a vote, it would be the vote of the city. The airport is owned by the city of St. Louis. So if there were a vote that went out to the people, it would be a city vote, to my understanding.
Is this typically the way that has happened elsewhere, is that it is put to a vote?
In the one that was there in San Juan, it wasn't put to a vote. It can be. I mean, it depends how the airport, who owns the airport and what the city or what the charter reads. So whether it's owned by a city, whether it's owned by a region, by a county, however it's owned, it would fall within the jurisdiction of that area. And it depends on what the verbiage is within the charter.
Yeah. Less than a minute left. Not to belabor this point, but the Puerto Rican San Juan Airport has been privatized. But Puerto Rico is bankrupt. I mean, is that why that transaction transpired?
Well, I think if you talk to any of the individuals in Puerto Rico, they'll tell you that, you know, the airport was in dire straits. They did not have any money to invest in it. The customer experience was very poor. So the city also was in dire straits in San Juan. And so this was an opportunity for them to get a fairly large lump sum of money and invest into their city and also get some investment into the airport. I think it has helped the airport. It certainly probably hasn't helped the city all that much. And I'm not that close to their whole bankruptcy issue. But
Well, this is something we'll be hearing more about, I know. Rhonda Hamdan-Perugi, thank you so much for being with us and spending some time and explaining some of the things that people are talking about these days.
You're always welcome.
Always appreciate it. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with experts from the Missouri Botanical Garden about how to be more successful in home gardening. We'll also hear an audio tour of the historic underground lagering cellars on Cherokee Street that will be the new home of Earthbound Beer. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.